Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci the run first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Try Brower. The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And welcome, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12. Got a good one lined up for you today. Derek Johnson, the pitching coach for the Reds, who will be in town for the 16th annual I-70 Baseball Clinic Martin Luther King Weekend. He is a guy that's had an interesting rise in the world of baseball. He was the pitching coach at Vandy, where he developed six number one draft picks. And then Theo Epstein really liked what he saw. He hired him. Then he became the Brewers pitching coach for a couple of years, and they were really good. And now he's going to try to rebuild the Reds. So we'll talking all things pitching at about 10:30. Speaking of pitching, Trevor Rosenthal will be in studio with us at 11 o'clock, along with Martin Kilcoyne. If you'd like to be a part of the program, we'd love you to call in or text in. We have the Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255, and the Winning Streak text line at that same number, 855-282-8255. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, and let's begin with lap one. Okay, opening monologue yesterday. We didn't think it looked good for Mizzou. In fact, nobody in this room thought it looked good for Mizzou. Tennessee is that good. They will win the SEC, I believe. But we felt the only chance they had was if Jeremiah Tillman, would simply dominate. You know, play like he is capable of playing, then Mizzou could stay in that game against the third-ranked team in the country. Well, what happens? Couple minutes into the game, he charges into a player with elbows up and then drops the ball in the player's lap. Got a technical and was basically never heard from again. He finished with 3 points, five fouls, and one rebound. Let me tell you something, folks. You are not going to win a game the rest of the season, if you look at their schedule, when Jeremiah Tillman does that. 3 points, five fouls, and one rebound. Their margin of error against a really good team is as thin as a slice of turkey at the Schnucks Deli. They need this guy to score 15 and grab 10 and play 25 minutes. He's got to figure it out. I mean, he has this incredible role model in Konzo Martin. Follow his lead. Grow up. You know, help your team win. Stay on the floor. I mean, I hope things work out for him because he's not a bad kid at all. He's a nice kid. He's just got to grow up. He's got to be more consistent. He's got a chance to make a living at basketball. You can't take yourself out of games like that. Let's hear from the coach after the game.
I thought we had good momentum, good energy. But what happens, you have guys out there with extended minutes that are not used to playing those many minutes in those situations. And then all of a sudden they get the head up. They made plays. I didn't think we defended at the level we needed to. They made some shots, and they just changed the game.
And Tennessee is really good. A 24-4 run to end the half. How about this Kyle Alexander? 14 points, 17 boards. And then they had this Jordan Bowden. He scores 20 off the bench and has this highlight film dunk. Then they have the big three, Williams, Bone, and Schofield. Well, I tell you what, the University of Tennessee under Rick Barnes, they have a Final Four look to them. They really do. Experience, athleticism, so well coached. All right, lap two. Speaking of yesterday's monologue, what did we say about playing Jordan Binnington in the game against the Stars? Let's hear it. Remember yesterday I said, wouldn't that be great if Binnington got a shutout? And the policy used to be shutout and you get the next game. Likely not in place now, but I'd start him tonight. What do you have to lose? Heck, if Nick Saban can bench the great Jalen Hurts, then Craig Berube can go another game with Jordan Binnington and sit Jake Allen one more game. And how did that work out for number 34, Jake Allen?
He waits. In front of Heiskanen, rebound, they score! Sagan gets the rebound, and he puts the Stars ahead 1-0. Klingberg gets it, he scores! On a one-timer, and he makes it 2-0. Sagan gets it from Edmondson, a shot, and he scores! And it went right through the body somehow of Allen, and it's 3-0.
That third goal was just brutal. I mean, brutal. Short side, how does that happen? Now, to be fair, two things. Jake did have some good saves later on, but the game was over. 3-0. You're not coming back from a 3-0 deficit with this Blues team. And, you know, here's the thing. Almost everybody thought that Binnington should have started. The only people that thought that Binnington should have started were these kind of like old hockey people that are in the organization. Oh, it's a divisional game. You got to start your starter. But the fans, we all knew that Binnington was the right way to go. Now, would that have made a difference? Who knows? But I do know this. When you get to the postseason in baseball, who do you start on the mound? Do you start like the veteran, the loyal guy who has a good history, who hasn't pitched well down the stretch? Or do you go with the rookie with the live arm who's won his last three starts with a 2.50 ERA? I mean, your margin of error for the Blues, too, is not great because of the hole you've dug yourself in. So you have a chance. You have a rare freaking chance in this really brutal season to win two in a row, to go back to a goalie who just had a shutout. That was last night. You had to win the game. The kid had some mojo. You don't have mojo now. I'll tell you, too, if I'm Craig Berube, and I know the chances of him remaining as coach are slim to none, but I take that slim shot. And I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to hook myself up to this kid and play him till he gets rocked. Now, if he plays Thursday and gets rocked, fine. But I will go to my grave thinking that Monday night or Tuesday night, Jordan Binnington should have been the starting goaltender against the Dallas Stars. So they lose, and here is Coach Berube after the game.
Well, we got to be better at home. That's the biggest thing for me. You know, I think as a team, we're playing a lot better. We're playing good enough to win a lot of games, but we find ways to lose games. That's got to change, and our home record's got to change for sure.
Lap three. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. Hey, I've been wanting to say this for a while. You've heard the news that Chris Duncan and his cancer. It's really sad. It's the exact same tumor that killed his mother. Randy Carricker told me yesterday the odds of one family getting the same tumor is the same as winning a Powerball ticket. He's dealt with this for 6 years. Think about this, too. Chris Duncan is only 37 years old. Life is hard enough with job issues, relationship issues, money issues, kids issues. And right in the prime of his life, Chris Duncan has had to suffer and deal with this. I mean, it's like 1/6 of his life. You know, I believe in the Lord with all my heart and soul. You just sometimes wonder why this young man has had to endure so much, all that pain. So I want to say, pray for Chris Duncan, pray for his family, pray for the 101 ESPN family here in St. Louis. Randy said he is one tough man. He has definitely shown that. All right, lap four. A non-sports thought. So ever since Dom left for college, some of our friends have been saying, boy, what's it like to be an empty nester? And we really didn't feel it. I mean, Brooke was with us till mid-October. And then we got that trip we took, and Dom was not in season, so he came back some weekends, and they all came back for a banquet, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. And then it happened. Dom left Sunday. I went to work, came back home at midnight, and I looked at Monique, and she looked at me, and, well, we're here. We are officially empty nesters. Now, we talk to each of them or text with one of the three probably every day, but it's just different. Christmas season was really weird, too. It was the first time we didn't have one kid playing basketball in 21 years. And Monique said to me, you noticed how relaxed you were the entire break? Yeah, I didn't have any basketball stress. Didn't coach a game. No attachment to any game. Went to some games, but, boy, when you're watching your kid play, it's a whole lot different. If you're coaching him, it's a whole lot different. It was wild. There would be breaks where Monique and I, from like maybe December 12th to January 12th, we would be at 25 games involving the three kids. The only thing I can say is this. If you have kids, or even if you don't, you better make sure you're wild about your spouse. Because one day, it's going to be just you and her. Now, fortunately, I am wild about her. I'm not sure, though, if the feeling is mutual all the time. But I love the lovely Monique. All right, lap five. So Martin asked me not to replay anything from the John Wayne Bobbitt and Lorena Bobbitt special from ABC. So in honor of Martin, I just want to play this one question from the venerable Tom Jarrett from ABC News asking Lorena about holding the unit.
You were still holding his severed penis in
yes.
your car.
He said it so elegantly, too.
The you severed... were still holding his severed penis
yes.
in your car.
Yeah. I love how they call the field right next to the 7-Eleven, the grassy knoll. It had kind of a Kennedy feel to it, didn't it? So what about, and I want to ask both of you gentlemen, Plowsy and Brian, what about awkward moments locally? I mean, there was that one question I think with Stan Kroenke. That was a little awkward.
Frank, how are you today?
Yeah, okay. Billy Devaney, after the drafting of Robert Quinn, and we're all down there on draft night, and I said, well, so what can you tell us about his health? And he says, he has a tumor. And we all just... Can you think of any other really... awkward moments in St. Louis sports TV, radio, just in person.
Wasn't there Vince Coleman was wasted on TV?
Oh,
was that
goodness.
The one?
Yeah, with Art Holliday. In fact, Brian, I think you may have played that before.
Yeah, I feel like I have. It's on YouTube, too. Is he cursing that? Vince?
I would say, I don't know if he does or not. And I think one of the Cal May questions to Matt Carpenter about Stan Musial running around in that body, I think, just is overall awkward. And I think I wasn't in the room at the time, but I would imagine that that would be very awkward.
Yeah.
Not to pile on him, but when the Rams introduced Michael Sam, Cal May asked a question along the lines of, like, what's it like being the first gay athlete? Or something, something relative to that. And I remember Burwell telling a story that Cal wasn't supposed to have the mic. The mic was handed to him to then be handed to either Burwell or Strauss. So everyone was very surprised when he asked a question. Wow. I remember that and kind of thinking like, it's not the right question to ask.
Other than that, you guys are pros on TV, though. Martin, Charlie, yourself, Frank. I don't remember. At least I've only been in St. Louis for 6 years. So I don't have the time spent here to remember a lot of them.
There's the time on this show where... Oh. And I love having him in studio, but Andy Van Slyke said that the highest paid Dodger told the Dodgers to trade Puig. And then he didn't name names, but he said the highest paid Dodger. So all anyone had to do was look at the Dodgers payroll to figure out who he was talking about. That led to some awkwardness. I know for Andy it caused some issues too.
Yeah, that became kind of a national story at MLB and stuff.
Yes.
You know the most awkward question in Super Bowl history? Is it was 1988, and someone asked the Washington Redskins quarterback, Doug Williams, how long have you been a black quarterback?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's when, hopefully, Doug Williams, he's a pro, just kind of let that one slide and move on.
All right, we'll take your awkward moments in sports broadcasting thoughts on the winning streak text line, 855-282-8255. Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. 55. Lap 6. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. I don't know if you guys have been looking at these coaching hires and then some of them that are strong candidates. And you know the thing that really gets me is I read one thing last night where the two leading candidates for the open Cincinnati Bengal job are Van Joseph and Hugh Jackson. Van Joseph, who just bombed in Denver, and Hugh Jackson, who got off to that incredible 1-31 beginning. Can somebody tell me how those two could be candidates? And then the fact that on all these lists, every one of these lists, I do not see his name now. Now, I may be missing it. Eric Bieniemy. How could he not? How could the offensive coordinator of the most creative offense football has seen in years not be a candidate? I mean, this guy has done it all. I mean, they say that, you know, he doesn't call all the plays and everything, but he was a great college player, you know, played in the NFL with the Chargers and the Bengals and the Eagles. I mean, if I'm looking to hire a coach, I don't hire the two that have just failed. I hire the guy who is a part of something special.
That's one problem with the NFL fraternity is the coaching. And I think retreads, I would like to see how many of those actually work long term and those guys get themselves into the playoffs. Jim Caldwell, to me, isn't the only one, the quote-unquote retread coach, that I could see getting a job and that would be deserving.
Yeah, he did better
work.
He
took a lot with Indianapolis and didn't have a whole heck of a lot either.
I do think if I'm Tampa and I have a quarterback in Jameis Winston who really hasn't figured it out yet, and I have Bruce Arians out there, I think that makes sense.
I think it was a good hire, too. But most of the time, those retread the third or fourth time around for coaches, it's kind of embarrassing because they spend money on these coaching hires, and it really doesn't make any sense because they just pick the latest coach that got fired who has a terrible resume.
I guess you could make the case, though, the greatest coach of all time is a retread, too,
Bill Belichick. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Food picks today. We're going to be at Onesta Pizza and Trattoria.
Oh, love that place. That's one of my favorite restaurants off Finkman.
Yes.
Onesta.
Tell me more.
Oh, the pizza's fantastic.
Really?
It's big, kind of closer to New York style, I would say. Okay. And we also serve really good garlic knots, just kind of as a...
Garlic what?
Garlic knots. And it's just kind of, it's just something they bring. It's like instead of bread, they have garlic knots, basically.
Oh, cool.
They have a, it's not a big beer selection, but it's a quality beer selection, really good taps, and also very good pasta. I've had usually I get their pizza, but I've had their pesto pasta before. That's really good.
Very
love
good.
Onesta.
We'll be sampling that with photographer Tom Stacey.
That's a popular
2 o'clock
place
today.
My wife and I like to go to during the spring and summer because they have a nice little outdoor area.
All right, and finally, I don't know if you're ever with your spouse and you're just completely stumped and you have no really worthwhile response. But last night at about 11:30, I'm watching a little bit of Ray Donovan, and there was a very inappropriate scene and Monique walked in, and she says, can you tell me what is redeeming about this show? And you know what?
Have you gotten to the Prince Johnson, the Black Python episode yet? Oh, that's a good one.
I had no response. There is nothing redeeming. All it is this horrible husband and father and, you know, everybody, you know, with each other having sex out of wedlock and killing people and unethical FBI. It's just... But I can't stop watching. That's the
just
problem.
Because you watch it doesn't mean you agree with the content.
That's right.
It's just... Very riveting television.
Yeah, it is. God, is he good. All right, before we go to break, I want to tell you about a couple of our great sponsors. And one of them, of course, is Westminster Christian Academy. I was out there the other day, and boy, I'm just so impressed with the caliber of kids out there. We did a little story with their kicker, and we had him kick field goals to try to imitate Cody Parkey. But I was just so impressed with the young man and the young man who was shagging balls. I know that my three kids all went there, and their best friends in life are Westminster grads. And that's about the best endorsement you can get from a school. 997-2900 is the phone number. WCASTL.org is the website. Give them a chance at Westminster. And then very close to Westminster is Maryville. And they sponsor our phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that lovely college in town and country. We'll take a break. We're coming right back.